Hey, Giant fans, welcome to the Giant Insider Podcast. My name is Jerry Foley. I'm the senior editor of the Giant Insider newspaper, and with me, as always, is the beat writer of the heart of Giants Nation, Chris Bisignano. In this episode, folks, it's a treat. We interview the great Bart Oates, the three-time Super Bowl champion Bart Oates, two of which we only really care about, five Pro Bowls, blah, 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 our favorite center of all time. And we'll grade the defense because we owe you that. But first, Chris, I wanted to get your thoughts on something that's been on Twitter, it's been on the media, on the radio stations, and it's a valid question, Chris. Do you think the Giants should trade for Deshaun Watson? Your thoughts, please.
Well, not unless you give up a couple of threes or something for him. I mean, look, Houston's going to try to salvage this anyway, but Jerry, we're in no position to be trading ones, right, a player, right, you know? No, I don't think. I mean, obviously, if you could steal him somehow, and that's not happening. The Giants are very happy with Jones. They want to move on with him. And we're in no position, zero position, to be giving up two or maybe even three number ones, right?
Right.
So bottom line, we'll have Deshaun Watson and nobody around him.
Which is the same problem he has in Houston, right? You traded DeAndre Hopkins away. So, I mean, Giant fans, what do you want to do? Give him 3 ones. We're going to give up at least three because they're talking 3 ones. Now I heard Saquon, Daniel Jones, and you're going to get Deshaun Watson in and hope that your defense takes a step forward and roll with, I don't know, an addition in free agency for wide receiver with no first-round pick. Like, I don't think that's a recipe for success, guys.
Yeah. So, if they do move on from Watts, I know Watts wants out, but not a new regime in there wants to talk to him. They think they could salvage a relationship. But if they do move on, it's going to be a huge price, dude. Huge.
Ridiculous.
They're not going to give him away for one number one and a couple of buckets of, you know, balls and all that stuff. You know, it's going to be a huge ransom.
Right.
This guy's a top five quarterback, dude. They're not giving them away.
Yeah, they're talking 3 ones. Well, and because somebody said, I don't know if it was, somebody said today they gave up 3 ones for Herschel. Now, that was a long time ago. So I don't know if it'd be 3 ones. It'd be probably two, or at least a one and a two. And
it's going to be two. It'll be two, Jerry.
Yeah. So it'll be a lot. And we're not in any position to do something like that, right? Okay.
No, we are not.
All right.
Not at all. So I think that anybody who's thinking that, or I know a lot of people like, oh, the Giants should entertain it. You know, Gettleman should pick up the phone. This is Deshaun Watson, a top five quarterback. You know, you got to give up a load of picks and play and all that. And that's not happening.
Yeah, you listed him as a top five quarterback, and I think you're right. He's only like 25 years old, I think.
Yeah.
Three-time Pro Bowl. That's crazy. Three times already in the Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
No arguing his talent. It's just we'd have to give up so much to get him.
Yeah. I mean, he's been in the playoffs every year except for last year. Right. He had 4,800 yards last year.
Right.
Without Will Fuller for 5 games. Obviously, we all know Hopkins was traded in the offseason.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy's dynamic.
He's going to have the same problem here that he has there.
Right. So, that's not happening. I mean, of course, we all want him, but you can't mortgage the future. And the Giants are in no position right now to be giving up ones,
None. Zero. Anything else you want to cover before we grade the defense? Because we have to get to Bart Oates as well.
Yeah, I guess a couple of things. A couple of news conferences this week. The old Giant, Dan Campbell, I thought that was hysterical.
Yeah, right? Yes. Bite the knees. Biting of the knees.
He sounds like an old guy from Brooklyn. He wants to take out kneecaps and this and that, And when you hit us, we're going to hit you twice, and we're going to break your kneecap and all that stuff. I thought that was hysterical, Dan Campbell.
Yeah.
I don't know how long that's how much success he's going to have there. He's surrounding himself with some pretty good football guys now, but I wish him well. I liked him when he was a Giant, Jerry,
Yeah, yep.
But I just thought that might have been the funniest opening press I've ever seen, Jerry. I don't know about you. That was hysterical.
Yeah, it was. And I don't think it was an act. I mean, I think he's really like that. Like, there's some guys who would say that and it's an act. But I think it was legit. I think he really feels that way. He's got that mentality. I remember him kicking the helmet in the 2002 playoff game. And I think he almost destroyed, if you remember, Quincy Monk. I think it was him for some reason. Oh. Somebody tell me if I'm wrong. Big Blue VCR probably has it next to his table, the whole clip. But Dan, he kicked the helmet from the bench, and it looked like he could have killed, I think it was Quincy Monk. So he's kind of had that attitude all along. I think Campbell was, third round, 99 from Texas A&M. He was a pretty good tight end for us. I thought he should have got the ball more.
Yeah, he was an intense. He was an intense dude as a player, and and he's going to be an intense guy. You saw when he had he was coaching a few games for Miami a couple years ago.
I remember. I think it was a 2003 game, Monday night against Dallas, when Parcells called a bootleg on third and short, and he passed it to none other than Dan Campbell, and he got a first down, and the game was over, or they got in a field goal range or something. It was the end of the game, and I was like, oh man, look at Parcells. The master of messing with people, using a former Giant to make that play. I'll never forget it. I think it was it was a short play. It was a bootleg, and sent us all home pissed off.
Right.
So thanks, Dan.
Yeah. So I thought that was entertaining. Obviously, last week's games, Brady. Well, what more can you say, Jerry?
Yeah, I gotta be honest with you, dude. I'm rooting for him because I think it helps Eli's legacy. I really do.
Right. it will definitely.
Yeah. Right.
Speaking of Eli, Jerry, while we're on it, now you mentioned him, it looks like he's going to be back with the organization next year in some capacity.
Yeah, and that's a good thing. Yep.
Yeah, Eli was in a building the other day. He talked with John Mara, Gettleman, the whole posse up there at Quest Diagnostics. And, he's going to have some kind of role with the Giants. He's not going to be a coach. That's out. Right. That'll never happen. Eli does not want to put the hours in,
Right.
Can't blame him. He's got his kids, young kids, and he enjoys spending his time coaching their basketball teams and all that. But he is going to have a role with the Giants and some kind of like an ambassador role, with the organization and maybe even with the NFL too.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good thing, Jerry, right? You like to see Eli back in the building.
Yep. Love him.
Doing some things with the Giants, and I expect to see that next year.
Yeah, I think that's good. And I know totally off subject, Chris, but I laugh at that commercial, the Frank's Red Hot with him. He's funny, man, because we said, you don't see what everyone else has talked about over the years, the sense of humor that he has, right? Like in the locker room, you've talked about it. Like he's a funny guy off camera.
It's funny.
And now you're starting to see that. And I laugh every time it's on when he talks about his recipes. I think Eli Manning's good for football. He's good. Good for the organization. I would welcome him with open arms and seriously, whatever capacity he wants, even if it's, I think there's an art form to what he did with talking to the media as well, where you never give press clippings. You don't say the wrong thing. I mean, look, we complain that Daniel Jones is boring and Eli was boring, but that's what you want. If you're the Giants, if you're John Mara and Tish, you want that. You want an athlete who's going to get up to the podium and say, don't say anything stupid. So I think, In a role like that, even like a media relations, I think he would flourish.
Right. And you know what? I think he'll start showing that other side of him a little bit, Jerry, that he never did as a player.
Yep. Yep.
I just to stay on Eli one second, Jerry. I found it very interesting. He talked about last week about he sees Brady at places or he talks to him, and they never bring up the Super Bowls. Eli never brings it up.
No.
Right. Which Eli is.
But offensive. But he said Brady does.
But he said Brady brings up 07 sometimes.
Yeah,
like he's still pissed off.
It must drive him nuts. Yeah.
And knowing Brady, that probably drives him bananas. Because they could have capped off the undefeated season. But I was a little surprised because Eli likes to be a prankster. I was a little surprised that he doesn't bring it up with Brady.
Brady's one of those guys, uber competitive. And you think like the guys who beat Brady, Eli twice and Nick Foles, that's insane to me. Right. Wow.
Yeah.
Unreal.
So, we'll be on again next week before the Super Bowl. So we'll make a prediction next week. You want to talk about a little bit, but, so Brady, unbelievable. 10th Super Bowl appearance. Rodgers did his little baby act after the game. Want me. He's not going anywhere, So, and as far as the other side, Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, what can you say? They're going to be really tough to beat in the Super Bowl. Mahomes is just, he's a special player. Andy Reid has shown the whole world how good he is now. He just had to get the hell away from Philadelphia, brother.
Isn't that funny? Isn't that crazy? The Eagles are sitting there looking for a coach, and they think they settled on one that's going to try and make Wentz work. Yeah. But their former coach is going to his second Super Bowl in a row. And I think it was time for Reid to get out of Philly, but that's amazing. That's so ironic to me that they're sitting there doing this worldwide search, yet somebody they got rid of is going back. That's, oh, my God. Wow.
Yeah, it was funny too because, you know, I got some Eagle fans and they before he won the Super Bowl this year, oh, he'll choke. He's always a choke artist. He can't manage. He can't forget about it in the playoffs. He comes up small. You know, watch, watch, watch. And here he is, you know, on the verge of winning two in a row. And probably, Jerry, probably if he does win next Sunday, probably an offsides away from winning three in a row, you know?
Yeah, right.
So that's right. Pretty remarkable. You know, Andy Reid is. He's a pretty special coach, brother. You know, I think you're seeing it, you know, the last few years. Well, I actually saw it, damn, when he used to slice us the hell up when he had Vic and the Eagles and all them, too, you know, so.
Yeah. Awful.
Yeah, yeah. So that'd be quite, it should be quite a game next week, man. Good. And Robert Saleh, the Jets got their guy, right?
Yeah.
Robert Saleh, I should say. I think that's how you say his name, Robert Saleh.
Yeah, and you like that pick.
Yeah, yeah. You know, the Jets feel they have their guy, you know. And we'll see. I'm sure if Watson does hit the market for sure, I'm sure the Jets are going to be in on him. You know,
that's a team that could afford with all the picks they have. They could afford to swing that.
Yeah, yeah. Now at the same time, you know, they have the draft capital to do it, but you know they're in no position really either. It's not like they have much talent on that team.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see what Joe Douglas does. How aggressive they are in trying to get him. You know.
Yep.
Something tells me, Jerry, I don't know what it is, dude, but if Watson does get traded, something tells me he winds up with Matt Rhule in Carolina. I just get that feeling. I don't know. Hmm. You know, so
and we'll see. And we talked about it, you know, Watson, Stafford, it's like we'll get into the draft later, but I can't get past this. There are so many quarterback needy teams now. Now, of course, Stafford and Watson are going to fill the needs of other teams. But it's going to be interesting to see in that top 10, how many quarterback needy teams will there be? And who's going to reach for the Alabama kid because they need a quarterback and they don't want to risk him falling. Like, I'm fascinated by all that, how that's going to play out. I still say, I was saying there's going to be four going in the top 15. I think it's easily going to be top 10 now. And I wonder how high the Alabama kid's going to go. I cannot wait to see how this all plays out.
Yeah, well, his stock is skyrocketing.
Right.
And he had a good Senior Bowl week, and there's so many people impressed with him now.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
Jerry, this is going to be one fascinating offseason because there's so many quarterbacks between on the trade block, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We all know Stafford's gone already. They already agreed to that. Watson, you know, and then you have that draft picks where you could have five of them coming out. You know, Jerry, this is going to be
crazy.
It's going to be crazy, dude.
Yeah.
It's going to be crazy, you know, to see what happens. Who comes up and draft, you know, maybe a blockbuster trades and move up in the draft. And this is all good for the Giants, dude.
Detroit's moving on from Stafford, who I always liked.
Yeah.
If you're the Falcons, how could you not move on from Matt Ryan? Right. If you're going to move on from, if the Detroit Lions are going to move on from Stafford, who I still think has an upside with the right coach.
Sure.
What the hell are you? If I'm an Atlanta Falcons fan, I'm like, oh my God, please. Can we move on from this already? So anyway, whatever.
Yeah. You know, the feeling down here in Atlanta the last few years, Jerry, is that it's not really Ryan. It's we can't stop anybody.
Yeah, I know.
Got to build a defense, and now they got Arthur Smith in there. So I think that you know they feel they got a little 2-3 years out of Ryan, Jerry. That's the impression I get. You know.
Yeah.
But Stafford, like you said, dude, you know he's been banged up the last few years, but going into 2021, he should be healthy, and he's going to help somebody, man. You know.
I'm trying to talk these other teams into quarterbacks so that one of our receivers falls to us, but that's all right.
Well, I think the way this draft is going and draft. Quarterback's going to be, I think the Giants will be in pretty good shape to get if they go this direction, to get a top, you know, one of those three top receivers, man.
Or a tight end, maybe. Hey, guys, I'm fine with Waddle or Pitts. I am on record. I don't care if it's Waddle or Pitts. My point is if all three are gone, I want Pitts. There you go.
Right. So. Right. So it's going to be fascinating, Jerry.
It really is.
It is going to be fascinating. Jerry, I'm just curious to see where the hell these guys wind up. You know, the Stafford and the Watson, if they do move them. You know, and you know it's gonna be a great off season, man.
Where do you think Stafford could go?
I think you got to watch Belichick here, man. Yeah. You know.
Yep.
I think you got to watch Belichick. You know, he has no quarterback, zero right now.
None.
You know, unless they're going to try to get, you know, one of those draft picks, you know, one of those kids coming out. But, you know, it'd be interesting. You know, it's going to be really interesting to see what else Stafford winds up. It's going to be – Jerry, I know I said it a few times in the last 5 minutes, but, man, I am so looking forward to what the hell happens this offseason.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yep, it's going to be fun.
All right, you are listening to the Giant Insider Podcast with Chris Bisignano and Jerry Foley, available on a host of platforms, including Spotify, iHeartRadio, iTunes, and a host of other platforms as well. All right, ready for grades?
Yeah, let's do the defense, right?
All right. Dalvin.
Should be a lot of good grades coming.
Yeah, right. No, we should be pretty good here. Dalvin Tomlinson.
Oh, B.
Yeah, me too. That's what I had. We're going to be very similar, I think, on all these. Dexter Lawrence.
I'm going to give Dexter a B, too.
I gave him B minus. But that's fine. We're very close. All right, here we go. Leonard Williams.
Oh, I mean, how could you not give him an A?
Yeah.
Unbelievable, yeah.
Absolutely. I gave him the same, an A. Again, guys, I know you always ask. We'd love to sign both, but we don't think they'll be able to. We think it's going to be Leonard Williams. And unfortunately, Dalvin will probably walk. But we'll see. Hey, we'll see how creative Abrams can get. B.J. Hill, Chris.
C.
Yep. I had C minus. I'm very hard on B.J. Hill because he hasn't taken the next step forward like I keep predicting he will.
The only reason I didn't give him that minus, I mean, because he didn't get many snaps as you. But do you remember he had that little spurt in like three or four games? He actually played pretty decent, you know.
Yeah, and we have a bad iTunes rating because I'm hard on B.J. Hill. Did you see that?
No.
Yeah, somebody give us a bad iTunes rating because you have to give B.J. Hill a better chance.
You're not the one that's giving him the snaps.
I know. I was like,
oh, what are you saying? Oh, somebody.
I guess because I criticized Hill. So, all right. That's. Whatever.
Well, listen, he hasn't been really good the last few years. He had a little run this year. He played well in a little spurt, but he hasn't progressed. You know,
right.
So.
And he'll probably, you know, if Tomlinson goes, he'll have the opportunity to take that spot. So, Austin Johnson.
You know what? In his limited snaps, he gave us some good football. I'm going to give him a B minus.
Yeah, C plus. Good. Nice. Lorenzo Carter incomplete, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a shame. Kyler Fackrell.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's another guy. He did pretty good things for us too, man. You know, got hurt there at the end. I'm going to give him a B minus too.
It's exactly what I gave him. It's the perfect grade. Nice job.
Perfect why? Because you had it?
Because we agreed. That's all. If we agree on it, then it's right.
I gotcha.
Carter Coughlin.
You know what? As a rookie, I'm gonna give him a C plus.
I gave him a B. I was very easy on him because I gave it's a little bit of a curve because of, you know.
Yeah, he didn't get snaps. As you know, he's a rookie. I got you.
The round pick, seventh round, right? Seventh round for him. So, Cam Brown.
He has some pressures. You know what, Jerry? He was really good for us on special teams.
Yep.
I'm going to boost him up to a B minus because of that.
Yep, I gave him and Carter Coughlin the same grade. I felt like they were almost interchangeable. I think Coughlin showed a little better in the pass rush than Brown, but Brown was very good on special teams, so gave him both a B.
Yep.
Jabal Sheard, who probably won't be back next year, right?
No, he won't be back. Yeah. He gave us a few games. Listen, he gave us some pressures. He gave us that one big sack, right?
Yeah.
To end the game. So, you know, so for the limited time, I guess let's give him a B minus.
Nice. There you go. David Mayo.
He's
C minus. I don't want him back.
C minus. Yeah, C minus. Yeah.
I don't want to see him out there.
Right. He won't be there. Yeah, yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah,
I don't want to hear about his run stopping abilities anymore.
Yeah, no, we got to move on, man.
There we go. Blake Martinez.
Oh, God. How could you? Look, you got to give Blake an. You got to give him an A.
Yeah.
A minus on that one.
Yeah. I gave him an A minus, and I don't know why. I think because I was trying to differentiate him and Leonard Williams. And I should have done that. I should have given him both A's. All right. So I gave him an A minus in the insider, but he deserves an A. I mean, you know, how many tackles do you have? 2,000? Whatever
what?
It was.
He did everything we expected. He was a captain. He ran the defense.
Yeah.
150 plus tackles. You know, so you got it. How could you not give him an A in the A group, right?
Plus, he used the Stage 5 Klinger, Wedding Crashers, quote based on your question to him, which was cool. Right? So, I mean, come on.
Yeah, and he also said he's going to be coming on a podcast soon. So hopefully that works out.
That'd be awesome. That would be incredible. Yep. And he's going to, you know, you wonder if he really did try and keep Patrick Graham and say, you know, like, Giants, you got to keep him or I'm out of here. I don't know. I'm just saying. But maybe he had a hand in that.
He's a pretty funny, he's got a good personality, Blake, you know, being on with him Zoom all year. You could see him being pretty funny too on the side on a podcast. So hopefully it works out. He said, just give him some time. He'll be on. If it works out, I think he'll be a pretty interesting one, Jerry, because he's a pretty funny dude, Blake.
That'd be awesome. Tay Crowder.
Oh God, Mr. Irrelevant. I could, he was expected to do nothing and he did a lot. B-.
B plus, sure.
All right, there you go.
Yeah. Devontae Downs, Chris.
Oh God. C-.
I give him an F. I don't want to see him next year. That was too hard, but I don't want to see him next year. Here's one. I don't know if you give him a grade, but I did. Because of the story. Nico Lelos.
Well,
it was along the same lines as Tay Crowder. Like, what do you expect? I mean, he made plays against it. I gave him a B just for the turnovers.
Yeah, the thing. Yeah, that he didn't do much yet. You know what? Let's give him a B. B minus, Jerry.
All right, that's fine. That's fair.
I'll be in your neighborhood there.
There you go. Here we go. Secondary. This should be fun. James Bradbury.
Hmm. A for Bradbury.
Yeah, I gave him an A+. Yep. Yeah, I was extremely happy with him. Isaac Yedem.
C-.
Because he was like the Giants, right? Like, he didn't do anything at the beginning. Then he played well, and then he fell off. C-. Again, I don't know what his contract terms are. He might be back next year. I don't think he's not costing much. I don't think he's a free agent. I don't know. I'd have to look.
I think he's restricted.
Is he okay?
Yeah. I think he's restricted. Yeah.
Ryan Lewis is incomplete, right?
Yeah.
All right. Your boy, Julian Love.
Julian. A little safety. Finished up corner. Safety corner. You know what? I like the way he finished up. How about we give him a B-.
That's fair. That's fair. Yep. Nice one. Darnay Holmes.
Oh, there's another kid, man. That play. You know what? I'm going to give Darnay a B-, too, brother.
I gave him a B+. Yep.
All right.
Because of...
You know what, Jerry? Let me change that. He didn't give up any touchdowns. I know, you know, has some bad penalties. I get it, but he is a kid. You know what? Let me change that to a solid B, Jerry.
That's fair. Yeah, and you know, slot corner is tough. Cornerback is hard coming out of college to begin with. Giants asked a lot of him. He got better as the year went on. You can make the argument that he was the best rookie on the team this year overall for the amount of time he got. So,
hey, listen,
I think you wrote that, right? You had him.
I had him down at the time. Thomas was really. I had him down as the best rookie. Yep.
Yeah, that's right.
Because Thomas was. Let's face it, was mostly down and up, right?
Yeah.
So,
Jabril Peppers.
Jabril is going to get a B.
Oh, I gave him an A. Yeah.
Okay.
Logan Ryan.
I mean, he's another guy, man. Right?
Yeah.
He's going to get a B too, Logan.
Yeah, gave me a minus. Yep. I obviously love the secondary. Xavier McKinney. I know he only played a few games, but the potential that he showed, can you grade him?
A little incomplete. They only played a few. But in the time he did play, I like the way he finished, right? So let's give him a B- too, the way he finished.
I gave him a B because of that, because of the INT against Dallas.
The way he finished up.
Man. Yep. All right. That's it for the defense. The special teams we'll finish up with, and then we'll get to Bardot's. Riley Dixon.
I did not like a lot of things Dixon did at the end. He was really good. I like the way he finished. I'm going to give him a B-.
That's exactly what I gave him. So it's probably.
I didn't like the way he finished up.
Same. Started off hot.
Too many punts down the middle of the field. They tell him all the time, do not punt it down the middle of the field.
And inside the 20, it was like a struggle. Struggled to get it inside the 20.
In key spots.
Right. Yeah.
You know, when he really needed it, at times he didn't do it. When he really needed it, you know. He's really good at doing it in the second quarter with 11 minutes left, but then when he needed it in the fourth quarter. So
stop blasting it through the end zone, Riley. We know you have a strong leg.
Yeah, the overall work, I'll say B minus.
Yeah, it's not like you didn't appreciate Fiegels, but you'd rather have that guy who maybe doesn't hit it as hard or hit it as far, but he's going to hit it like right out of bounds at 43 yards. Like, to me, that's perfect punting. That's all you want.
Directional punting.
Yeah. Yep.
Matt Dodge had it. Oh, wait a minute.
Oh, God. My God. And finally, last but certainly not least, Graham Gano.
You got to give Graham an A.
Yeah, I gave him an A plus for the breaking the record.
Yep.
Yeah. So. All right, buddy. Good stuff. Well, anything else before we get to Bart Oates?
No, we just got to kick up those grades on the offense next year, right, Jerry?
Absolutely.
You got to kick them up, man.
Yes.
You know?
All right, everybody.
So this time next year, Jerry, we're saying something like, all right, Chris, what'd you give Jalen Waddle?
Yeah.
B plus, Jerry. You know?
Yeah, that's right. 1,200 yards for a rookie is pretty good, so we'll give him a B plus.
Evan Engram. Oh, C minus again.
Yeah. Pitts. A plus. All right.
Anyway. Jerry, he had 10 touchdowns. I got to give him an A.
Nice. All right, dude. All right, everybody. Here is our interview with Bart Oates. Hope you enjoy it. All right, everybody. We'd like to welcome 3-time Super Bowl champion, 5-time Pro Bowler, center, Giants great, Bart Oates, to our podcast. Bart, thanks for joining us, man. We really appreciate it.
Hey, my pleasure.
Bart, Chris Bisignano, the beat writer for The Insider, and it's an honor to be on with you, my man. Thanks for coming on.
Well, I appreciate you guys spreading the good word.
Absolutely. We're going to try and get you verified as well on Twitter, but I know that's a pain point. And I've looked for it myself. I've talked to people at Twitter. It is a totally random process. So that's something we'll definitely work on as a thank you for joining us.
All right.
But look, you know, Giant fans, they have a rich sense of history. You're a popular, you know, obviously you're our favorite center based on the question that you asked of us for the podcast. So we pointed out that you were ahead of Sean O'Hara. But you came to the Giants in 1985 from the USFL. You were a 2-time champ. If you can describe coming to the Giants and what that was like for everybody, I think that's something everyone would be interested in.
Well, I'm glad that I played in the USFL first, because I mean, I felt like a fish out of water as it was, you know, coming to the NFL. And if I had just come from BYU straight into the NFL, it would have been probably a very different story as to my career. But, you know, we had a really good team. It was exceptionally competitive with respect to the teams we played and the competition. And so when I moved into the NFL, I think competitively it was not the same level, but, you know, from a week to week, I mean, you know, I played Reggie White twice a year. We played, you know, there were a lot of good guys in that league. There are a lot of guys that come out of the NFL and, you know, towards the end of their NFL career and had been enticed with money. It would have still been in the NFL, but the money was just much better, because that was kind of the turning point, if you will, from the salary standpoint with the NFL players. But, you know, that experience allowed me, I think, to really acclimate very well into the NFL. And we had a good system. We had guys I fit in really well with on the offensive line. We had some good coaches. I was intimidated, though, I got to tell you. My first practice, I remember coming in. So Parcells was a little perturbed at me. I should say more than a little.
There's a shock of butt.
So what had happened was I was trying to get out of the USFL, but my USFL team said they still had my rights and I couldn't go. And so I'm negotiating with the Giants. I'm negotiating with the Stars at the same time. And so the Stars wound up having to, I got $150,000 signing bonus from the Giants. Hmm. And I had to pay the Stars $150,000 to relinquish my rights, my claim rights. So it's basically, you know, they gave my signing bonus over to the Giants, right, or over to the Stars. the Miles Tannenbaum. But that was, and then my, and so it took me like 2 weeks. And so already the experiment that they were trying with the moving a tackle over and trying to find a starting center that to replace Kevin Belcher. Mm-hmm. You know, Parcells is already really ticked off that he lost Kevin Belcher because mm-hmm. he saw Kevin Belcher as this, he was this 10-year starter. I mean, yeah. Kevin was going to be an all-pro player, and then he loses him after his first year.
Right.
And so he's upset. You know, he had a position solidified, and, you know, now he lost that control. And Bill Parcells hated to lose control. Mm. And so I'm sitting there, and it's like, they, you know, I keep saying they're going to sign me, and I'm trying to sign, but I can't sign. I can't get this thing done with the Stars. And so I missed like 2 weeks after we finished playing our last game that was the championship USFL game in Meadowlands, actually in the middle of July. And so I was, you know, Bill had kind of expected me to move right over into the camp. They're in camp now towards the end of July, start camp. But it's like 2 weeks later, maybe 3 weeks. I wound up missing all of Pace University. I didn't even get into Pace University. And after they broke camp, so it must have been the last week, the fifth week of camp, I get in there into the to Giant Stadium. I get my physical. I go out to practice. I don't know anybody. I mean, literally, I hadn't had any meetings. I go out to practice. You know, I mean, they got to point me the direction to go. I go out there. I know nobody. And so they make me the starting long snapper because they have to cut the backup center, who was also the long snapper. And I'd never made a snap in a game in my life. And so here I am, like I'm the designated snapper. So one of the first drills is a punt. We do a punt coverage, punt team. And so I get out there to do the punt team. I get up there. They tell me to jump in. Tell me where to go. I go. I make the snap. I've been practicing. I can make the snap. So I didn't. You know. So Parcells is ticked off because usually on the punt drill, all you do is you go like 5 or 10 yards and you cover your lane.
Right.
And you don't have to. But Bill's upset. He's upset at me. So he's going to get it. The other guy's upset at me. So he says, "All right, because of us new guy." You know, Bill, when he's like, when he's upset, he won't call you my name. You're this guy. this new guy, because of this new guy, we're covering all the way on all of them today. So, you know, for like 10, 12 punts, we had to cover the 50 yards that Landetta, who was the punter. And Landetta actually is funny because Landetta had signed earlier. He played for the Stars for 3 years, too. We both came from the Stars. And so I go out and he's the only guy I know. So we're covering. And like the fourth one, I'm sprinting down the field. You know, I'm feeling a little good because I hadn't, you know, I'd had like 3 weeks off and I'm a little fresh. Boom. I hear something pop in the back of my leg. I hear it. And then I feel the searing pain, the burn. And I wind up tearing my hamstring. Oh. And this is the fourth play of my Giant career.
Yeah.
Man, so needless to say, Bill loses. So he's upset at me already. Now I'm an offensive line. I never pulled my hamstring. I'm a lineman. It's not like I run that far to even be able to. And so I don't even know who to see. Right? I don't even know who Ronnie Barnes is.
Right.
That's how new I am.
Right.
So I'm limping around. I can't. And Bill's yelling and screaming. And Ronnie Barnes comes over. He looks. It's already starting to get discolored. And, you know, he sees he knows exactly what happened. And it's like Parcells starts swearing. I mean, it was just, you know, he is like, he just couldn't believe that his offensive lineman pulled a hamstring. And he knew, quite frankly, I think deep down he knew that they really shouldn't have been covering all the way anyway.
Right.
So it made, even, made him even more mad. So that was my start with the Giants.
Nice.
But how difficult was it for you, man? I mean, you were in two training camps in 85, like you just said. You had a couple weeks off, and then you go into
– oh, my gosh.
So, and then now you go into this camp. Obviously, I'm sure it was much different than the Stars. I mean, how difficult was it for you, man, to participate in two camps?
Listen, there's only one guy that had a harder camp than Bill Parcells, and that was Jim Mora, who coached the Philadelphia Stars before he coached the New Orleans Saints.
Wow.
It was just unbelievable. I mean – You loved having games because games were so much easier than practice. That was his kind of his mindset. Says, I'm going to work you so hard in practice that games will seem easy.
Yeah.
And I, again, Mora was a guy that he was harder. He had ran harder practices than even Bill Parcells.
Yeah.
And so that was, you know, that was, I was exhausted. I mean, that first year, by the end of the season, because I had played, I remember I came out of college in the USFL. I finished my fall season and went right into the spring leagues. So I played back-to-back that first year.
Yeah.
And then the next year, I only played one season. And then the next year, I wind up playing. So I wind up playing five football seasons in 2.5 years.
Nice.
And so my body, after the – we lose to the Bears that year in 85. Right. Remember? Right. And I remember sitting in the locker. I had hyperextended my elbow. My knees killing me. My elbows – I mean, I am just, I couldn't have played the next week. I don't think I could have played. I was just, so it took me a good 2 months to really recuperate after that, the end of that season. I sat there in probably the rest of that January and February. I did nothing but just recuperate. That was brutal physically. I was a young guy. I was 26, 27 years old.
Yeah.
Right.
So relatively young. And, you know, I was tired.
You brought up the Bears game, and Parcells has been quoted saying, if you played him 10 times, you lose 9. But that day was one day where you could have won.
I think that's generous.
And, oh, okay. Wow.
And wait, you're thinking, who says that we could have won?
No, 9 out of 10 times the Bears would have won. Parcells said that.
I think that's generous.
So 10 times. Okay. Okay. Then I guess you answered the question, because he said that day was a day you guys could have won, but I wanted to get your thoughts on that, but right, you kind of answered it already then.
If that's the day that we could have won, I don't think we were even close.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know how we could have won that game. We couldn't score.
Yeah.
I mean, we ran right into the teeth of the defense. We played into their strengths. It was, offensively we would not have scored any points, 0 points, none, yeah. Zero. It's not happening. I mean, we ran into their strengths. We threw our protections were into their strengths. We did not neutralize what their strengths were. But nevertheless, if that was a game we could have won, then that's why I'm saying, because I played that game 10 times, we lose 10 times.
Interesting. Okay.
But obviously, practice every day. Talk about some of your battles with Jim Burt that you had during the week.
We didn't have any battles.
Was it a good competition?
No, I went to Jim right at the beginning. I said, Jim, listen, we can do two things here. We can beat each other up during practice, or we can get better, work our technique.
Hmm.
And so Jim, because Jim up until that point, he had just tortured every center. I mean, just he'd right. wore him out.
Right.
Wore him out. And so I said, listen, we just work our technique and we both look good without having to beat each other, and we get better and we don't get beat up. And so, you know, we call that brother-in-law.
Yeah.
And so, right. And obviously that's a pact that is unwritten and would never be recognized in the legal proceeding. However, you know, Jim says, he goes, all right, but if you ever go behind my, you not go behind my back, but if you ever, I'm trying to think of a politically correct way of saying this, you know, go against your word or agreement.
Yeah.
Right.
And you sneak attack me. I will just make your life miserable.
Hmm.
But once I got the agreement, we worked in practice, and when we went against each other, it was always, we're going to make each other better. I mean, there were times we couldn't. I mean, there were times if on a goal line, for instance, that, you know, you just all bets are off, and he knew it, and I knew it, and you just went all out. But
just to follow up a little bit, going against the Giants defense and Belichick and what he brought to the table every day, did you know back then how good Belichick was going to be?
No. No, he's an offensive lineman. I mean, I was so far removed from the defense. It was all I could do is just to, my focus is on my job, offensive line and offense. I mean, I couldn't do anything with the defense. So I spent zero effort zero energy thinking about the defense. Hmm. Now, we were fortunate because I didn't have to. We had the best defenses in the league, so the years I played there. So that was one of the reasons I probably didn't have to think about it, because I knew there was no way I was going to help the situation. So my job was, I'm like, you know, I got to make sure I get my job done. That's all. That's my biggest concern.
As far as offensive lines go, especially in Giants history, you guys have a special place in Giant fans' hearts, and probably the most famous because of the suburbanites mantra, right? And that name. When did that come about? Was that in 85, or is that more towards 86? And how did that come about? Because I know I've understood your nickname from Parcells Books.
How is because Bill was looking, Bill loved to find these monikers that could define you and motivate you in some small way, right?
Yeah.
So, that was Bill looking at, we were five white, kind of young, married with little kids, all of us, all five of us. And, it's like all five of us living out in the suburbs. I mean, it was, we were suburbanites, and he's like, and he loved, particularly with Benson and Nelson, he loved to kind of, there's plenty of fodder with all five of us, but he loved to go after those guys. Now, remember we had William Roberts there, who was by far the best athlete of the group. And Damian Johnson was there, which was a stud.
Yeah.
We had Brian Johnston early on. Mm-hmm. And we had some pretty decent, we had some awesome players.
Yeah.
Starting five guys were just these middle-aged, middle-class, suburban guys that were just, Bill's like, hey, Nelson, what did your wife pack you for your brown bag lunch today? But he'd always take that time. We'd have that 10-minute period and stretch right at the beginning of practice where everybody's stretching out and Johnny Parker's leading that. And then Bill would just walk the lines and just make his comments and listen to guys chuckle,
Right.
And you just learn to say, I'm either going to, you got to embrace this because he'll zing you at times too. But you got to laugh. You can't never say anything back. That's just the worst because now you got more attention.
Nice.
You just kind of laugh and he moves on to the next guy and just, hey, Nelson. I hear that voice even today.
It was a Giant Insider podcast with Chris Bisignano and Jerry Foley with special guest Bart Oates, two-time Super Bowl champion with the Giants, three times overall. Bart, look, we've had Pepper on. We've had Mark Collins on. I've spoke to Carl Banks numerous times. And, I was a season ticket holder in the 70s, Bart. And at times it looked like I would never see 1986. When you go through that season and then you beat the Redskins in the championship game, what was the feeling like, Bart? And did you realize at the time everything that you guys did for the fan base who was a long-suffering fan base?
No. There's no way you can appreciate that. Hmm. I mean, I got a sense, and now I understand. But, as a young kid in 1986, growing up, I grew up in Georgia, never even saw – I don't think I ever saw the Giants play.
Hmm.
Can I understand? There's no way I could at that time appreciate what the fans had endured and what they had gone through and the support that it took.
Did you start to understand that as you got older, Bart?
Oh yeah.
Like, wow, look what we did. Was it like that?
It was, it was impressive. It was going like we broke. I came in kind of, it already transitioned, 83, 84 were the really kind of breakthrough years. 85 we built on, then 86 it culminated, but it was, and I came in 85. So can I really appreciate that? No, I can't.
So we just celebrated the 30th anniversary of the 1990 team. And that was a workmanlike team. It was a team that didn't commit many turnovers. I think at the time had the best turnover ratio in NFL history. If you can, Bart. Right? Yeah, I'm positive of that. At the time, it was.
Okay.
Can you compare the 90 experience to the 86 experience? Because the first one's always the best, probably. But that 90 team, did you expect to have the season that you had?
Well, yeah. 90 we did.
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
Good.
We were studs.
Nice.
Are you kidding me? Yeah, 90. We started out, what, we were 10-0?
Yeah.
We were on a roll. I mean, we were kicking butt, man.
Yeah.
I mean, we were going to go undefeated.
Yeah.
I mean, we were good. We expected to be good. We had, we got robbed the year before, right? Was that the
Flipper Anderson? Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's right. So that was, we got robbed there. It's like, we were shocked. So 90, we just look, 87 was an anomaly. 88 we built on, then 89 we got robbed. And so we just, I mean, there was no surprise there. That was a seasoned team with a lot of good players.
How was the confidence, Bart, going into that Buffalo Super Bowl? What was the confidence level like? What was Parcells talking about leading up to that game? Because obviously you guys were underdogs. The Bills won by about 100 points in their championship game and all that. So talk about what Parcells, what was the move with him leading up to that game?
Bill was, well... He was genius, right? So this is the year there was the Desert Storm going on.
Yes.
There was,
yes.
we had that happening. There was no off week. It was only 1 week between the conference and the conference championship and the Super Bowl. And so Bill was brilliant. And he said, guys, you pack two bags. You come to the stadium, I want two bags. One bag for San Francisco, and the other bag will meet you in Tampa. Because when we won the game, we didn't come back here. We went straight to Tampa.
Yeah.
From San Francisco. And so, it was that process of packing your bag for a week for the Super Bowl. All right, here's what I need for this. I'm in Tampa. This, you got to go through that mental process of what you have to put in here so that here's what you have to wear. Here's, okay, I've got this event. We've got, I got this for, we got media day here on Tuesday, blah, blah. Okay. And that's kind of like, you can see it. I mean, you sense it, you feel it. And it was just a brilliant idea on his part that I think it helped guys just say, yeah, we can do this, guy. We're going to do this.
Bart, I know you don't have much time. We're about 20 minutes in. If it's all right with you, we'd like to do a little word association, if that's okay with you. We give you a word, and then you give us the first thing that comes to mind. Is that all right?
Okay.
All right, ready? I'll go first, Chris. Is that cool?
Yep.
All right. Giants fans.
Awesome.
1986 Giants.
Super Bowl champions.
Philadelphia Eagles.
Loathing.
Nice.
Okay, Bart. Lawrence Taylor.
The best.
New Jersey.
Couldn't be a better place.
Awesome.
Norwood's lining up for the 46-yard field goal attempt.
I hope he misses.
I don't think we can top that, be honest with you. Bart, listen, it was an honor on our side. Like I tell everybody, I tell anybody we interview, we are season ticket holders or were at one point. Giant fans growing up. So this is an honor for us. And you're one hell of a player. And thank you for making some time for us. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, gentlemen.
Bart, guys... take care. Stay safe, buddy.
Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, everyone. Hope you enjoyed that. Chris, that was a good time, huh?
Yeah. Bart's a very busy guy. So it was nice of him to give us 20 minutes of his time. We try to get some stuff in 20 minutes. But, interesting guy. We always like Bart, right? So we were happy to hear from him, give us a little insight and all that from Years ago, buddy, from the Super Bowl teams.
Yeah, successful lawyer in New Jersey. I hesitated when I did the word association. When I said Philadelphia Eagles, I was afraid he might hang up, and they gave the perfect answer. So you never know, right?
I like the way, you know, when we did ask him, or when you asked him about the Eagles, and he's just like kind of like.
Yeah, he paused.
I thought he was going to say hatred. I thought he was going to say. I really did.
Here comes the hang up. Like, oh, crap. I ruined this.
It was like. He was so calm and cool. You know, he gives his, you know, yes, this and that. And then when you said Eagles, that seemed to be the only thing to get a little emotion out of him. He was like, he was quiet. And then he was like, he gave that little giggle. Like, yeah, I hate those guys. You could tell, right?
Yeah, that's right. Unbelievable. Good stuff, man. Anything else, bud?
No. Jerry, you know, if people don't remember Jerry and, you got to remember, man, you know, he played against the Eagles when, you know, guys was putting bounties on Lawrence Taylor. You remember?
Yeah.
You know, buddy. You know, all those, you know, those games were vicious, man.
There was that crackback block on LT in 86 at the Vet. It was the only time you ever saw LT really get drilled. And he got so pissed. I think he had two consecutive sacks. Again, we're sure Big Blue VCR will show this the second we say it. but I think he had two sacks right after. And that's just something that you didn't do with him. You didn't aggravate Lawrence Taylor. But that's what they did back then. Yeah.
He played aggravated enough, Lawrence, and then to aggravate him even more wasn't a wise move. It really wasn't.
By the way, I never knew. Real quick, your buddy Banks. I never knew that story with Ray Hanley, and he confirmed it.
Yeah. Oh yeah. They were not big fans of Ray Hanley. Banks told me that a few times.
I remember when Banks was taking oxygen on the sidelines in a game in 92 against the Chiefs. And it was almost like it almost looked like they had said to Rod Rust and them, we're going to do our own thing. And the Chiefs were good and they dominated them at Giant Stadium. And I just always remembered that one. Like I wondered what the hell the conversation was like. I mean, I talk about ruining a great team or a team that still had some playoff runs in them. But anyway, whatever. That's why I talk about that.
No, but it did come up on Twitter, so it was interesting. Yeah. True story. Yep.
Crazy. All right, everybody. To order a subscription to The Giant Insider, go to www.thegiantinsider.com. Go to magster.com for a digital subscription, MAGZTER, and download The Giant Insider app from the App Store. For those of you looking for it, we will be, I believe, printing at the end of February, doing a pre-free agency issue. Anything else, pal?
That's it. I'll see you next week. We'll talk a little Super Bowl, right? And whatever else comes up.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right, guys, remember, Sundays are Giant Days. Take care, everybody.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Spring, is that you? Warmer temps mean new Allbirds styles. Meet the new Superlight Collection, the lightest ever shoes from Allbirds, now in fresh colors. These must-have travel shoes have a lighter-than-air feel and barely-there fit that made them the most packable shoes ever. Plus, they're comfy right out of the box. That means more comfort and less baggage. Experience how Allbirds is redefining comfort. Visit Allbirds.com and use code SUPER24 for a free pair of socks with a purchase of $48 or more. That's Allbirds.com, code SUPER24.